Or if you take your Bibles down, turn with me again to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Titled this, A Song of Confidence. A Song of Confidence. Who among God's saints does not need confidence? And we're not talking about self-confidence. Not talking about confidence in your ability. Self. Our confidence is in the same confidence David had this psalm. His confidence was in God. His confidence, his trust was in God. Now we see here in this psalm, he is encouraging his heart. He's encouraging his heart in a time of great difficulty. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And he's encouraging himself because of his enemies. In verses 2 and 3, we read that the wicked, his enemies, his foes, has come in to eat up his flesh. And what was his past experience in this? They stumbled and failed. He is relying on that confidence of what God had done for him before. And now he says, though the host should encamp against me, my heart should not fear, though the war should rise against me, in this be confident. Confident. And then he gives us his desire. His confidence is in the Lord his strength, the Lord his life, the Lord his salvation. And then he gives us insight as to his desire. He said, one have I desired. And we know this is, we're going to see Christ. He longed for the coming of Christ. And during this time of waiting, he inquired in a certain place. He inquired in the temple of the Lord. The only place where Christ was manifest, where Christ was revealed, Christ was preached, was in the temple. To behold the beauty of the Lord, inquire in his temple. David here was doing what every child of God does in a time of trouble. He prays. In a time of trouble, hide me. Hide me in your pavilion. Hear me, O Lord, verse 7. I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. You said seek your face, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to seek your face. This is what God's people do. Therefore, when all forsake us, what does he say? Even when my mom and dad leave me, when my those who love me most forsake me. I know this. You'll take me up. You won't forsake me. And he cried in verse 11 to be taught and led by the Lord in a plain path and to be delivered from his foes. And then in verse 13 and 14, we have his hope, his victory. He said, look, I'd fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of living. Listen, he didn't see the goodness of God. He said, I'd fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of God in the land of living. And then he gives this encouragement. Hey, I waited on the Lord. Now you wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. I had not fainted. Do you seek not to faint? Do you seek not to be encouraged? He said, wait on the Lord. Therefore, as we study this prayer of David this morning, we may hear the words and cries of our own heart to be comforted. For the psalm is not only the experience of David, but it is the experience of every child of God. Every same experiences. And so then I ask this morning, do you need confidence? Do you need comfort? Do you need assurance Are you surrounded by your foes? Are your troubles overwhelming to your soul? And may God the Holy Spirit take this word even now and apply it to you. And that's the only one's going to be able to do it. I can put it out there. I can't make it effectual. Only God can do that. I pray He will. Now I've got 4 points this morning and I don't believe I can get through them. Okay, I believe a lot, but maybe God will teach us in this, and I will. But I've got 4 points. First of all, I want us to see David's union with Christ. This was the grounds of his prayer. The grounds of his prayer was his union with Christ. Secondly, I want to see David's enemies, that they are no different than our enemies. He faced the same foes that we face. And thirdly, I want us to see David's desire in the middle of his trouble. What was his desire? And fourthly, I want us to see David's victory. David's victory. David's confidence. So first of all, David's union here. Look at this in verse 1. He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" This is the foundation of his request and his prayer. This is the cause of his hope, and that is his union. His union. As David was surrounded by fears, both within and without, so are we. We have fears. We are afraid. And I tell you, if we're not afraid, usually it's because we're ignorant of what's going on around us. We're oblivious. But when we're awakened to what's really happening around us, we begin to fear. Our troubles, they well up within us so that we cannot contain or suppress them. You ever had so much trouble well up in you that you cannot press it down anymore? There's some trouble, you can just push it down and push it down. But eventually, it comes out, expresses itself. You can't contain it within. David in Psalm 30 tried that. He said, "I kept silent, and then my bones waxed old." Roaring of all the day long, for day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture was turned to drought. Believers, your sin so great, your enemy so strong, your griefs too heavy. Does your bones wax old within you? Do you feel the hand of God pressing you down? Newton wrote that hymn, that poem. He said, "I prayed for grace and faith. I asked the Lord that I might grow in every grace and faith. And I thought that in a moment He would grant my request. But instead of this, He allowed the angry powers of hell to assault my soul on every part. And with His hand intent to aggravate my wound, He crossed my fair designs, cast me down and laid me low. Why am I thus?" I trembling cried. And this was His answer. This is how I answer prayer for grace and faith. You want grace? You want faith? This is how He answers. Trouble and trials and difficulty, is this your lot? Then cry unto God, for this trial is not for your evil, but for your good. Would to God we'd view every trial that way. Well, this is hurtful. But man, I know it's for my good. For in your trouble, in the midst of your foes, cry out as David did. And this is the grounds by which you're sure to be heard. This is the grounds by which you are sure to be heard, even because of your union with Christ. Union with Christ. Notice that David did not say, "The Lord, Lord, gives me my light." Look at that. Look at your text. He didn't say, "The Lord gives me my light. The Lord gives me my salvation. The Lord gives me the strength of my..." No. He said, "The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life." The Lord Himself, Jehovah, in the sacred trinities of His persons, we are in such union with Him that He who is light is my light. He who is salvation is my salvation. He who is life is my life. My union with Him, the Lord, is these because of my union. We were before the world began. We were in union with Him. We were in union with Him when Christ came, when Christ died, when Christ rose again, when Christ was seated on the throne of God. We were in union with Him. And we experienced this union at our conversion, when He came and gave us a new nature. We experienced. Now listen, He gives us light. Isn't that right? He gives us light. In the experience of our salvation, we were darkness, Paul said. You were sometimes darkness. Not you were in darkness, that's what you were. You were darkness. You had no light in you. But He did give us light. He did give us light. As God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, He had given us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He gave us light. In the experience of grace, He gave us salvation. We were without salvation. We were unbelievers. But by His grace, He gave us faith, which is the gift of God. For by grace you are saved. Through faith. And that is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And He gave us life. Isn't that right? An experience of our salvation. He gave us life. We were dead. And today, you that believe, you are alive. Well, who keeps you living? What is the strength of that life? It's Christ. He gave us this life. This life. But the root and source of all of these gifts, the gift of light, the gift of salvation, the gift of life, is this, that you were in union with Him before the world began, because God put you in union with Him. One preacher said, God hitched your wagon to Him. You're in union with Him. Wherever He goes, you go. It's like a trailer. Hitch up a trailer. Where's the trailer go? Go anywhere play different than your truck? No, it's in union. You're in union with Christ. And this is the source of all these gifts. In 1 Corinthians, look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And so what David is saying is exactly what Paul said. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Look at this. But of God are you in Christ Jesus? But of God are you in union with Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And Paul said the same thing in Ephesians 1 verse 3, but blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as He had chosen us in Christ Jesus. According as he had chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, here it is, by Jesus Christ. Put us in union and purpose that by Jesus Christ you should be holy. You should be saved. Therefore, seeing our union with Christ, God put us in there. And let's see this in 1 Corinthians, that the text you're it's the first thing God made Christ to be for us when he put us in union. It's wisdom, isn't it? So when David said, "The Lord is my light," what is he saying? He's my wisdom. He's my understanding. Isn't that what light pictures? You go into a room and it's completely dark. You have no knowledge of what's there. All you're going to do is stumble around in the darkness. Until what? Until you have light. And light gives you understanding. Light gives you wisdom. And therefore, God put you in Christ and made him to be, first of all, your light. Your wisdom. You can cry unto God because he is your light, your wisdom, your understanding. And what is it that we understand? What does he make us to understand? Here it is. How can God be just and justify the ungodly? This is a question that religion, works religion, can't answer. It can't answer it. Only the gospel of grace can answer this. How can God justify me seeing I am really guilty? If you're really guilty of something and somebody declares you to be innocent, that person's a liar. If you're really guilty, they're lying. How can God do that? How can he justify me and not be lying? Well, God's given us the answer to this. The light of Scripture is that Christ is my representative. That's the only way God can justify me. You see, I was made a sinner and a representative. I was made a sinner and representative. Now, I sinned on my own. But I know this, in Adam all died. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You sinned when he sinned, in a representative. And so God makes this maxim, makes this picture very clear that only by a representative can we be justified. Do you understand that? Do you have that wisdom that Christ is my representative man? That God made him be my salvation? And light in Scripture is not only a picture of wisdom, but it's also a picture of joy. And peace. I remember when I was in the military, there was no more joyful time when I had to pull guard all night than when the sun came up. It was just joyful. It was good because now, you know, I didn't have to. You always in the dark. You're always guessing what's out there. You really can't see much of anything. But in the light, you can see. Gives me joy. Gives me peace. That's what he does, of which Christ is my joy and peace. Now that I see that he is all my salvation, listen, this is joy. It's joy to me to understand that I contribute nothing. That he has made peace with God for me. That the blood of his cross has made peace. I tell you what, I don't have to do anything at all to contribute to that peace. My stead in my room. And he is all my joy because I'm one with Christ. Therefore, like those disciples to Emmaus, they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he spake?" I tell you, to a believer, there's nothing like hearing His voice. When you hear His voice, your heart melts. Your soul longs for Him. Wisdom you have, is that the light you have? Gives me joy and peace to hear His voice and fellowship with Him. Therefore, He is my light. I shall not walk in darkness. I'm not going to walk in darkness and confusion. Christ is my light. And when I'm confused, all I have to do is look at Him. I'm not confused anymore. He's my light. I understand. Secondly, He is all our salvation. Salvation. David said, He's my salvation. The Father put us into union with Christ for this purpose, that Christ should be our salvation. Not only our knowledge of salvation, our wisdom in salvation, but also our actual salvation. Those are the things that Paul says back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, again, he said, God hath made Him to be wisdom. And these three things right here, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. What is that but salvation? Salvation is a big word. When I say salvation, I'm talking about the whole thing. All of it. And I know this, we enjoy looking at the parts of it. We enjoy looking at the parts of it. First of all, righteousness is a part of my salvation. Without it, I couldn't be saved. God made Him to be my righteousness. All my righteousness. You know this, we were born without righteousness. In Romans 3 it says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. All together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. How then are we made righteous by the righteousness? We're made righteous by the righteousness of Christ. In verse 22, he tells us that, of Romans 3, he tells us even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Important. This is the wisdom we've been given, that our righteousness was merited by the faith of Christ. And then this righteousness, though obtained by Him, was given to us. He is my righteousness. And then in grace He comes, and He who is my righteousness gives me righteousness. Unto all and upon all them believe. Are you not grateful that He is my righteousness, that there is nothing I contribute to this? Nothing? Secondly, we see this, that He is not only our wisdom, our righteousness, but He is our sanctification. God made Him to be my sanctification. I'd heard a message this morning. Someone asked me, and looked. They had a church in their area, and they didn't know. It's called Sovereign Grace Church, so they was asking if it was a good place to go. And so I listened to a message. First one popped up was sanctification. I said, we'll see. And sure enough, first thing he starts talking about is progressive holiness. For such an educated man, he is ignorant concerning the Word of God. There is no such thing as progressive holiness. You are either holy or you're not. Holiness is an all or none principle, friends. If you are somewhat holy, you are not holy. It's kind of like being almost pregnant. You are or you aren't. You're either somewhat or not. You're either holy or you're not. Now, I understand this. We do grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. Some people use the word progressive sanctification, and they misuse it to say, well, I mean growth. Well, say growth. Because, yes, we do grow in grace. We do not grow in holiness. Now, I'll tell you this, you may act more holy, but that doesn't make you holy. You may do those things that God has exhorted you to do, but does that add to your sanctification? Well, let me ask you this. If Christ is my righteousness and my sanctification, am I adding to my righteousness? Do I need to be more righteous? Ask yourself. Look in the mirror. Do you see? Well, man, I need to surely be more righteous. Well, can by you being righteous add more righteousness to His righteousness? No. In the same token, how can you add to His sanctification? He made you holy. That nature that is in you is holy. John says this, that he that sinneth not is born of God. What is he talking about? Because you and I sin every day. He's talking about the new nature that God has given you, created in you. And so Christ then, consider this, Christ is my holiness. I am holy because Christ is my holiness. I am set apart because God set me apart. And every day I am set apart for His service. And the next one is this. He is our redemption. He is our redemption. We may boldly cry this, that God will hear my cry because He is all my redemption. Christ, in grace, representative man, bore our sins in His own body on the tree. That's what it means. All my sin. How much sin do you suppose you'll commit this afternoon? This week? This month? This next year? You don't even know how much sin you'll commit. He does. And all that sin, Christ bore in His body on the tree. And all of that sin that makes me so shameful, so vile, feel so guilty, Jesus bore that sin as well. In His own body. And when justice, the justice of God was... I remember some guy taught me to box one time. Last time I ever boxed in my life. he was a champion boxer. And he said, just hit me. That's all I want you to do, just keep hitting me. And I just thought I was doing really well. I just kept hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting. And in about 45 seconds, I was exhausted. I couldn't hold my arms up anymore. I was so exhausted. You know, and then he hit me in the jaw once and I got knocked out. That was it. But when God's justice poured out on Christ, it was just done. It was exhausted. It couldn't do anymore. There was no more justice that it could exact, no more punishment. Christ endured the justice of God in its full measure for my sin. My sin, I didn't skate under the radar with my sin. My sin is punished. All my sin is punished. God punished all my sin in His Son. And when my Savior was done, He told me this, it is finished. He shall see of the travail of His soul. I'm so thankful for that. His soul, not mine. His soul. And be satisfied. And God was satisfied. Redemption was paid. And God raised Him from the dead. God set Him on the throne of God. He raised Him to show His success. Peter said God raised Paul. God raised up Christ because it was not possible that death should hold it. What keeps people in the ground? Sin. But since there was no more sin in him, God raised him from the dead. Not possible for death to keep him. Therefore, listen, don't be afraid to approach unto God. You have a firm ground to approach unto God. He is your light, your salvation, and all your life. He is all your life. Christ is my life. Believer, this earthly life is a vapor, is it not? It appears for a while and it's gone. In 100 years from now, who will remember we were ever here? No one but God. This life is a vapor. I truly hold this life to be valuable. This life is valuable. You know why? Because there's only salvation in this life. The elect are going to be called and believe on Christ in this life. Scripture says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Therefore, we compel men to believe. We long for everyone to believe. We long for you as sinners to come to Christ, to believe on Christ, to trust Him for all your hope and merit before God, knowing this, that only Christ can give you life. Make you see this wisdom. I can't make you believe in His salvation. Only God can give you life. And what is the evidence of this life? It is simply this. Received Him. Become the sons of God, which of the will, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. All who are quickened to true spiritual life, the evidence is simply faith in Christ. And we who have faith in Christ, you listen to this. Your life is hid with God in Christ. Your life. This life is not your life. You'll lose this one. Well, no man is discharged from this war. No man. We'll die. Sooner or later, it will happen. Here is my hope. When I die, it's not over. My life is not ended. In fact, when I die, I begin to experience what real life is. We are ushered in to enjoy the fullness of that life that we have in Christ. But until then, listen, you are kept. You are kept. Peter says that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Though you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, which is for the trial of your faith, which is precious, because faith is the evidence of our union with Christ. So when Christ shall appear, all the praise and honor for our enduring faith belongs unto Him who is our life. Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with Him in glory. And so then, as you live in this life, I want you to know this, none can take it from you but God. Since he is your life, why would you be afraid of anyone taking your life? They can't take your life. God does. When you see this happen, you say, oh, this person died before their time. That's foolish talk. They didn't die before their time. They died right. And just like I told you, I think I was talking to Kevin, and he made this comment from the pulpit. You know, he was there with Dee, and he said, you know, cancer might be the means of taking Dee's life. But it wasn't cancer that killed him. God. It was God took this life. But even when God takes this life, listen, you're not dead. You're not dead. Because your life is hid with Christ in God. And so therefore, if God, no one can take our physical life, how much more our spiritual life? Go to John 10. Listen what he says about Christ being our life. Listen to what Jesus says about this in John 10. Look at verse 27. He said this. He came to lay down his life for his sheep. He came to call his sheep. And he said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So then this is the strength of our prayers. This is the strength of Christ is my light. He's my wisdom, my understanding of salvation. I understand who I am. I am the sinner. I know that. That's that wisdom. He's my light to see that. He's my light to see that Christ is all my hope to be just before God. And he shows me this, that Christ is all my salvation. Because of my union, all of it. He's my righteousness. He's my wisdom, he's my righteousness, he's my sanctification, and he's my redemption. He is all my salvation. And Christ is the strength of my life, both physical and spiritual. He sustains me until my life is over here. But I know this, nothing can separate me from his love. Nothing. Paul said that, who can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ? Tribulation, nor persecution, nor death, nor peril, nor famine, nor sword, nor angels, or principalities, or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. I am persuaded of this. And neither life nor death. You got that? Nothing in life and nothing in death. Now, anything can separate me from the love of God. Why? Because of my union with Christ. This is the grounds of all our prayer, all our hope, so that we should not fear nor be afraid. I told you I wouldn't get past it. I've got 3 more points. But we'll save them to another time. Hopefully, the Lord give me grace so I can finish this maybe Wednesday. I hope God will give you comfort in this. Be confident when you come before God. Because of your union, he's your light, your understanding, your wisdom. He's your salvation, your righteousness, sanctification, redemption. And he is your life. No man could take it, spiritual or physical, without him. And he promises this, that nothing's going to separate you from him. Do you feel separated from him at times? This week I felt so distant that I could not, I could not fathom him being in the same universe as me. Now, did my feelings have anything at all to do with his nearness? Did my feelings have anything to do with his being my light, my salvation, and my life? What grace is. Grace is totally unmerited favor. I didn't deserve any of that. And yet he still gives it to me. Freely. Freely. Are you surrounded by enemies? Are you fearful? Why? If God's your life, why would you be afraid? God's your strength, why would you be afraid? I pray that God would help us in these times not to be afraid, but rather to trust him. That's a remedy for fear. Trust. Not self, but God. Not circumstance, but God. Not feelings, but God. Pray God will bless this. Stand and be dismissed. Father, dismiss us with your blessing. Pour out your Spirit upon us and teach us these things. Instruct our hearts to constantly cry unto thee for help. And know assuredly, Father, that our enemies will stumble. They will fail. And Christ shall conquer. And I pray this in his name.